Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We're here to preview the 2024 John Deere Classic, aka if you're a top player in the world, you get the week off. We'll recap some of the Rocket Mortgage and get you ready for this one. And then next week, we have the Scottish Open and the artist formerly known as the Barbasol. So we have some fun stuff there. Before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDN, check the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, Jesse. How are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Fun little golf tournament there in Detroit this weekend. What do you think?
Yeah. It was another Rocket Mortgage Classic. I don't know, man. Like, the golf course is very underwhelming to me, so it's hard to really care a whole heck of a lot. But like I was saying before, I did watch most of Sunday because I did have a bet on Aaron Rye, and so I wanted to see how he did, and should have just not watched on Sunday. But yeah, I mean, it was a good tournament from the perspective of, like, it was very competitive golf, especially at the top with several guys having a chance to win. And then Cam Davis just kind of being handed it, and got to feel bad for Akshay, man. I mean, that's,
yeah, that was rough.
Did you see the three putt?
Yeah, no, I watched, got home and I watched the entire basically replay of the final round. I had a lot of office work last night for some reason. I got to watch it all. And, That was heartbreaking.
Yeah, heartbreaking. That was rough, man. I mean, but you know, the first putt was the really shitty part. But it's, yep, that is golf. It is, that's the best way to put it. Because if you've ever been in that position of needing to do something, the nerves really start coming on strong at the end. And you know, he's obviously a past winner, but he's still very young, and it's still very difficult, no matter, you know, what level of golf you're playing, to overcome that. And that's pretty much what happened. It just got a little nervy there on that first putt, and then the second putt, same thing.
Yeah, I love that. Even right afterwards, he goes and talks to the press and flat out said, he's like, I got nervous. It's a big event. Like, basically, that's the gist of what he said.
Yeah.
And you got to respect him for at least doing that. Like,
he
understood what's up and didn't drive off in his car or anything like that. Like, I didn't even hear Cam Young give a speech, and he broke his driver head. And then Jordan Spieth has meltdowns on the golf course. John Rahm has meltdowns on the golf course. What Cam Young did on Sunday, I think he needs to take a few weeks off and go, like, just talk to someone for a bit, because that boy had some big demons between the ears.
There was a lot of tilt. Cam Young, obviously, with the, I think, the biggest amount, because he could not hit his driver into a fairway and could not make a putt.
Anyways, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, then he snaps it. And then did you see where he hit? I think it was on 17 he hit. Threw it onto the green.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, that's golf. Obviously, Cam's very long anyways. But, you know, overall, I forgot Tom Kim missed the cut.
Tom Kim missed the cut. My number one rated player, Keith Mitchell, bogeyed the final hole to miss the cut.
Was it a bogey on the final hole?
Perfect. Yes, bogeyed the final hole. Mm. It was awesome. He actually struck the ball relatively well for the week. Typical Keith Mitchell. Couldn't putt. So... That was the name of the game there. But it was weird because, like, if you looked at the final leaderboard, you know, Minwoo Lee played great. You know, Cam Davis, Aaron Rye, Bhatia, Cam Young's there. Like, those are all respectable names. Like, those are names in a regular field. But, okay, that's cool. They're good 7K players or whatever. But you also forget, like you said, Tom Kim. Pandreth was popular, didn't do much. Jaeger missed the cut. Like, there's just a long list of guys that did not find the weekend. So it was a really interesting week, because I know 6 of 6 when it got to -4 was less than 5% for the most part. Like, every tournament,
it was
changed a lot.
Yeah, it was very low. And Minwoo, we didn't even talk about Minwoo. Who did you see hit?
I'm sure
you
did.
He was coming on and then hits it long on 18.
One,
thankfully, they gave him enough room back there, unlike the European Tour, which basically just put the grandstand on the green. But
that was
enough ridiculous room back there, and then had a terrible shot. I mean, what just an off. I don't know. Did he think he had to make it or something? I'm confused.
I'm thinking that's what he did. The way he hit it, it felt like he had – it looked like he thought he had to get it there is what it felt like. because the way he hit that, because he chips in so much. He already chipped in twice that day. We've seen we've seen so many videos of him chipping in to win on the Euro Tour. Like he, I think he, I don't know. It felt like he maybe thought he had to. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That was very odd.
And he almost chipped in for par.
Yeah, that I thought it was going in.
He almost had it. I was like, holy crap!
Just died going up the hill. But yeah, it was overall just another Rocket Mortgage. We get another Rocket Mortgage this week, but worse.
But worse. A TPC Deer Run. The last thing I'll mention is, not sure if you saw it, if you're watching while you work today, but Richie Dick Bland won his second straight Senior Tour major. So Liv technically has 5 of the last 8 majors I saw on Twitter. That just made me laugh. I'm like, are you?
Yeah, the cliques, man. The cliques are
they're balling.
Hot right now.
At least in the Senior Tour, they're doing their thing. So that it makes me wonder, like, Bland got in, like, qualified for, I think maybe the PGA got an exemption in or something. But how is he in, but, like, Phil's not getting in? Like, no invites for Phil? That's pretty funny to me.
Well, I would say Phil could play if he wanted to. I bet he doesn't want to play.
Yeah, he must not want to, because you think Phil, like, at least the old Phil, maybe this new Phil got all that money, doesn't care anymore. The old Phil would have wanted to be out there.
Before he went to Live, he was playing Senior Tour and winning.
Yes, that's why I figured he'd want to go win majors on the Senior Tour. So I'm surprised he's not out there.
I think it's probably an ego thing for him, and he doesn't think he's quite there yet. So
that's fair. That's fair. Because when I was watching a little bit of it Sunday morning, I was like, well, Bland's out here again, but where's like the other old farts on the Live Tour that you'd think you'd want to push out there and.
Right.
Nowhere to be found. So, yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Nothing crazy. Just Bland's playing like a man possessed. Like, I'll never forget. It was a few years back when the British Open, he kind of came out of nowhere. I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And he's almost already on the Senior Tour at that point. It's just like,
yeah.
And, and he almost got relegated on Liv. That was the best part. Almost got relegated. Then he gets, you can't write this.
Relegated to the Sunshine Tour? Like, what's
relegation? I don't know. Probably the Asian Tour. They have their European tour connections, because Scottish Open's next weekend, which is a co-event between the Euro and the PGA. But this weekend, not sure where I think the Euro's in Valderrama or something this week, or maybe lives in Valderrama next week. But some Live golfers are playing the Euro Tour this week. So if you guys are bored, go check that out.
Gotcha.
All right, you mentioned it, John Deere Classic, TPC Deer Run, a lot of history here, Jesse, but not quite the same field. But what do you have for us here on the John Deere Classic?
Yeah, a lot of history. Last year, Sepp Straka won 21 under, 2 shots over Alex Smalley and Brendan Todd. 2022 was JT Poston, 21 under, 3 shots over Christian Bezuidenhout and Emiliano Grillo. 2021 was Lucas Glover, 19 under, 2 shots over Ryan Moore, Kevin Na. 2020 was canceled. 2019, Dylan Fratelli, 21 under, 2 shots over Russell Henley. 2018, Michael Kim, 27 under, which is the tournament record, 8 shots over Bronson Burgoon, Joel Dahman, Francisco Molinari, Sam Ryder. Bryson won in 2017. He's not in the field, but your boy Patrick Rogers finished second that year. Ryan Moore, Jordan Spieth won here twice. Brian Harman, past champion. Zach Johnson, Steve Stricker used to win this year after year. And that's pretty much all we need.
Yep. Not a difficult golf course. Birdie fest, as Jesse mentioned. No, Michael Kim, we love him on Twitter. Great personality. Shooting 27 under says a lot of what you're looking for here. And when we're talking TPC Deer Run, you mentioned the course history. It's a short par 71 golf course. Nothing too crazy there. There's 3 par fives. 2 of them are the length of the course is like 72-90, if you're curious. 2 of the 3 par fives are gettable by the entire field into. They're not that long. All 3 kind of sit in a bucket of around 550 to 600. So the 2 are shorter, very gettable. Hey, Cam Young can get there with 2 3 woods. So, you know, even your short drivers can get there in 2. The par fours, the biggest bucket, you have like it's almost split in half. 350 to 400 and 4 to 450. So that's par 4 scoring, because you just want birdie. So you got to crush the par fives. You need to have a good par four scoring. The fairways are extremely wide, so you're going to have usually good wedge game in. Most of your approaches are from like 75 to 150, so shorter wedge play, unless you're worried about getting there in 2 in the five in the par fives and longer iron plays in play. But more often than not on the par fours, it's a pretty easy wedge coming in if you're in the fairway. And then luck box putting as usual, will reign supreme this week. Because, like I said, even with we'll get back to Keith Mitchell on this show because he still ranks very high in my event. But if you can't putt, you're not going to make it on these birdie fests. It's plain and simple, as well as you want to strike it. So, what stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, it's a lot of typical shit approach, short scan approach, par five scoring, birdie or better, and then a lot of course history. So, yeah, it's just about getting hot at the right time and putting yourself in good position come Sunday.
Yep, most definitely. And we'll get to the DK scoring on now, or DK picks, I mean, now. We originally had five guys over 10K. Patrick Cantlay already withdrew. Cam Davis withdrew too. He's in the lower tier. We'll get to him in a bit. But Cantlay's already gone, so we only have four players now in the 10K range of an already watered-down field. And you mentioned two-time winner Jordan Spieth. He's 10-5. He leads the way now in this one. Sepp Straka past champion at 10-4. That's just as Sepp Straka, the second-highest-priced player in this field. Sung Jae-in at 10-3, who was like a mid-8K guy in the major. And Aaron Rye, who nearly got it done last week, is 10K in this field. Talk about a price bump, folks. So if you're ready for the rest of the picks in a bit, just prepared. If you see this pricing, you know what's coming. Who do you like in the 10K range, Jesse?
I mean, I don't want to pay this much for any of these guys. I mean, Sungjae's 2 out of 2 made cuts at this event, coming off a third-place finish to the Travelers. Sepp, obviously defending champion, has had a pretty good year, 23rd, 56th, 5th, 5th in his last four starts. And then Rye coming off second-place finish last week, has never played here. I mean, Rye is probably the guy that I would go back to. That might be just a little bit of recency bias for me. But to be honest with you, I probably won't even play any of these guys at all.
Yeah, no Jordan Spieth for me. If he wins, kudos, but I just don't see that happening. Sepp Straka, 7th in my model. He's 3rd in approach, 2nd in good drives. His approach game is always really good. Obviously, 3rd in the field, but he's 7th in my model. I could see that. I'm always a Sungjae sucker, and it's really interesting with Sungjae. You mentioned the two made cuts here, 47th and 26th a few years back. And just the way he plays, like 3rd at the Travelers, missed cut at the Open, 8th at Memorial, 9th at Charles Schwab. He's getting close, it feels like. This feels like if Sungjae is going to do it, this is a great week for it. We know the approach game can be nuts when he's on. He's a DK scoring machine because he'll birdie like crazy. He's 3rd in the field in par 4 scoring. So I think Sungjae at 10-3, I'm willing to bite the bullet there. I don't hate Aaron Rye, though, as you mentioned, because Aaron Rye is number 1 in my model. So take that for what it's worth. But if you're doing a heavy approach game model, he's 2nd in the field in approach. He's 1st in good drives. He's 1st in par 4 scoring the last 24 rounds. 12th in par 5s. Like, he's pretty dang good. If he can just putt, he'll be okay there. So those would be the three guys that are in play, because I just crossed Spieth off immediately. Sungjae is my favorite play if I have to. But Aaron Rye, I want to mention, 1st in my model, which is it says everything you know about the John Deere Classic.
He was 1st in mine last week and almost got it done. So
there you go. That's good. Yep. That's good to hear. Well,
he's 2nd this week.
Yeah, well, that means our guy's flitched, because we'll get to Killer Keith in a minute, because he's 2nd in my model this week.
It's not Keith.
Yeah, no. 9K range, Matt McNeely at 98. Davis Thompson had a nice week at 96. Denny McCarthy at 95. J-Day at 94. Cam Davis is out. Keith Mitchell, 92. JT Poston, 91. And Sam Stevens at 9,000. So who are you liking in the 9K range?
Well, Matt McNeely is who's number 1 in my model this week. Obviously with the course history too, 8th, 18th, and 44th. In his 3 starts here, so that's pretty good. Was heavily bet and heavily played last week in DraftKings, so I don't know if people are going to go back this week or not, but I think this is a better week to play him than it was last week. Davis Thompson's just playing really good golf, 31st in his only start at this event last year, 2nd last week, 9th at the U.S. Open. He has missed some weird cuts, like at the Canadian Open and the Byron Nelson, which were more comparable scoring wise, especially to this than the U.S. Open, but obviously come off the second place finish last week at a very comparable type of venue. And then Keith Mitchell, 42nd, missed cut 7th in his 3 starts. So 42nd was last year, missed cut 2021, and 2018 he finished 7th. Missed the cut last week. Like you said, he missed on the number by trunk slamming. He could not putt or scramble. But hit it so many greens in regulation. 86% over 2 days is pretty good. And that's with a 60% driving accuracy. So it's not like he was hitting every fairway, but hitting all the greens and just terrible putting. So I like going back to him this week a lot at 9,200.
Killer Keith. He's second in my model, fifth off the tee in the last 24 rounds. He's second in opportunities gained, which goes to what you said about greens and regs. Second in DK scoring. He's 12th in par fours, 14th in par fives. He's 130th in putting. There's 156 golfers in this field. So but this is the kind of thing when we talk about GPP plays, first the miscut, people are going to be annoyed. But the dude's giving himself every opportunity. If he could just find even a half better approach at putting than he did last week, he's going to make the cut and could make a run. So, like, for GPPs, I'm right back with you on Killer Keith. Like, I'll be right back on that. I'll cross my fingers because second in DK scoring says a lot to me. And I'll bring it back to the top real quick because first in DK scoring is Matt McNealy over the last 24 rounds. Somehow he's 12th in my model. That must be because it's just the weights are different than yours because he rates out really well, 14th off the tee, second in par four scoring. Par five, at least 550 to 600, weirdly enough, 80th in this field. Kind of surprised me, but overall he's playing just fine. 10th in opportunities gained. I like Mav quite a bit as well. Davis Thompson, just for his scoring ability. His par five scoring, he's first in this field. So it's obviously in a birdie fest if you're not. They're going to play six par fives before the cut. If your guy's probably not least four, if not five under on the six par fives, making the cut's going to be tricky come the weekend. Let's just be real about the situation there. So I could see that Davis Thompson there. Denny McCarthy should be popular. Honestly, he's 93rd in my model. His overall ball striking, his approach game has been awful, but he's still one of the best putters in the world. So see what he can do there. Poston's got the course history. The recent form's kind of shaky. And Sam Stevens is playing really good golf. He's 67th in my model. But over the last couple of rounds, 10th last week, 14th at the Canadian Open. Those are two decent finishes there for Sam Stevens. And missed the cut here last year in his debut. So I could see Sam Stevens being interested as well. But I'm glad you're with me this week. Killer Keith will be locked into my lineups once again because he was last week. And I'll keep playing guys that strike the ball the way they do. And you can just, you know, putting such a ridiculous part of golf. So I'll take my chances there.
As evidenced by Akshay's last hole.
Yes, bingo.
He didn't three putt all week.
Yep, second bogey of the whole week. Just
crazy.
It's nuts. That's golf in a nutshell. 8K range. We've got Nick Dunlap at 89, Kevin Yu at 88, Lucas Glover at 87, Luke Clanton at 86, Eric Cole at 85, Mark Hubbard at 84, Seamus at 83, Adam Svensson at 82, Bo Hosser at 81, and Taylor Montgomery at 8,000. Who do you like in the 8K range?
Start with Kevin Yu. Sixth here last year. Four straight made cuts for him on tour. We're already at this point in the $8,000 range where if you've made fourth straight cuts on tour, that's a good thing.
He's ninth in my model, so that says everything.
Yep. Fourth place finish at the Myrtle Beach Classic. Lucas Glover is a past champion. I'd be willing to pay this. Now, he's not had necessarily a stellar year, but he's had a pretty solid year. He did have back-to-back missed cuts at the U.S. Open Memorial, two very tough places. If we throw those out, he's had a really good last about 4 months, 3 months. So I like Lucas Glover quite a bit. Luke Clanton, yeah, this is the dude who's an AM, right?
I believe it's Florida State, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He might be a little bit more popular than really what I want, especially at this price with him being bumped up here. I mean, I don't know. That's something I would kind of monitor because if he is, you know, 10 to 15% or more, I would probably fade. But had a really great showing last week at, you know, finishing 10th. Mark Hubbard at 8,400 has played here a lot, sixth last year at this event. And dude still hasn't missed a cut this year. Talk about like a solid cash game play.
Pretty good. Did you see how he made the cut last week?
I did not.
I believe it was like eagle birdie on the final two holes.
Perfect.
It was something wild to get through. And it was just like, yep, there you go. Keep it going, baby.
I don't know why he wouldn't. I mean, he's not having like really good finishes, but, you know, 50th basically is where he's going to finish. But either way, at 8,400 this week, especially in cash, Mark Hubbard. And then Seamus at 83, hasn't missed a cut here. 13th last year, 8th in 2021. So pretty solid starts. Come off a 20th place finish at the Travelers. Missed cut the U.S. Open. Made the cut at the Memorial. Missed cut the Canadian. Made cut at Wells Fargo. I mean, it's just like up and down with him. But you know, this is a place that he's had some success. So I would be more than willing at 8,300 to go back to him.
Yep. I'm with you on most of those guys. Nick Dunlap, you mentioned him last week. He had a very strong week, kind of faded over the weekend, but he ended up finishing 10th still overall. Finished 10th, 66, missed cut, 12th at the Memorial. So three out of four events looking very strong. You know, he won the Amex and kind of fizzled out, and people were like, ah, you know, maybe a flash in the pan. Let's forget these guys are young. So I think Nick Dunlap coming in at a whopping $8,900 is very, very intriguing in this one, as he rates out 20th in my model. Lucas Glover is fourth in my model, even with those two missed cuts. Like you mentioned, two tough golf courses, was playing pretty decent golf coming into this one. Like first in opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds, 13th in par four scoring, 11th in good drives, plays very well. He was struggling before he won here last year, and then we saw the run Lucas Glover went on. So this is a place where I could see him coming back at $8,700. Man, do we buy into Eric Cole finally waking up for a week? That's the tough one for me, but he's 85. Hubbard at 84. I'm always a fan of, like, similar, like, last week, same setup as you've mentioned. Like, loved him last week. Why wouldn't I like him this week? But Seamus at 83, I like a lot. 11th in my model, 7th on the par fives I'm looking at, 19th in opportunities gained. The course history is phenomenal. He's actually been playing weirdly good and, you know, 20th at the Travelers, missed cut the O's Open, 27th at the Memorial. So the two elevated events, the 20th and the 27th, then he just kind of hangs out and doesn't do a whole lot. So that's interesting. And Svensson at 82 is a guy that kind of felt like he disappointed a bit last week with the missed cut, but a lot of made cuts in a row prior to that. And that's it for me in this range. But a range that I could see myself playing two or three guys in just because it starts to get real bad. Actually, I don't mind the top part of the 7K, but it gets rough quickly. Speaking of that, I'm just going to put it – oh, man, no, we're going to go the old school way here, Jesse. 75 to 79, Griffin, Rogers, Schenck, Thorbenson, Ryu, Olsen, Gim, Hodges, Shipley, and Putnam, and Novak, a lot of 75s. Who do you like in this little range?
Start with Rio for me. I don't like a lot in this range, but the model likes him. Novak at 7,500. Two out of two made cuts at this event, 42nd and 30th the last 2 years, and two straight top 20s. In similar type of scoring events, 20th and 14th in his last two events. So it's pretty solid. And then love Neil Shipley at 7,500. You know, he was a little bit in contention, or at least, you know, getting some talk for a while. Didn't have a good Sunday, shot 72, shot even par. It's not a good Sunday when you got to get to 18 under. But, you know, he just continues to basically play really solid golf, and if they're going to put him down here at 7,500, I don't know if he's going to be popular or not. It looks like last week, I don't have an ownership percentage on him, but I'm really going to make a concerted effort, because I wanted to play him last week, and it just didn't end up fitting with my one lineup that I ended up playing. So I will definitely jam him in this week at $7,500.
Yeah, no, I'm very intrigued with the Shipley game as well, as you mentioned. So I'm trying to find that ownership for you. They changed the layout here, but
I can probably find it. It's just usually Labs has it.
Yeah, well, usually, you know, Fantasy National changes their layout too, so it's a little trickier to
let's
find.
See. But he was around. Well, they have him at 0%. I don't.
Yeah, that's how. Well, that's not right. So
there's no way.
No, we'll figure that out some other time. But for me in this range, Ben Griffin always intrigues me, especially at $7,900. I know the form's been shaky of late for Ben, but like 31st, 67th, missed cut second in Canadian, almost won in Texas earlier this year, which was nice to see. He's never played here before, but Ben Griffin. I'm interested in Piraj. He missed the cut here last year, but 30th, 23rd the previous 2 years, coming off a nice week in Detroit, where Piraj finished 31st. He finished 16th the week before the Travelers. So maybe Piraj is starting to figure something out here. Rates out horribly, 122nd in my model, but that's Rogers in a nutshell, honestly. So that's interesting. Like Ryu, I like him as well at 76, like you mentioned. Shipley at 75 and Novak at 75. So we're on those guys together. The only guys I'd probably add were Piraj and Ben Griffin up top there. But definitely that Shipley play, I'm curious to see what his projected ownership looks like going into like Wednesday, because on paper that price should be screaming play me. But you never know with the amateurs. Yep. You just never know.
The I looked it up, and I played a $33 single entry, and he was 4% owned. Okay. So he was probably, you know, 4 to 5% owned in most contests.
That's maybe fair.
A little bit higher in some.
All right, $7,000 to $7,400. Who you looking at in this range?
Michael Kim, you know, he started with a 65 last week. So I like guys who can flash some form like that. He didn't have a good, he didn't really follow it up the next 3 days, but you can tell that there's something there, and he actually tweeted some shit about it. So if you want to read about his week, he tweeted, you know, quite a bit about what he was thinking and how he felt and yada, yada, yada. Now, since his win, he's missed a cut here 3 straight years. So I don't know that's not great, but like I said, I just like the fact that he, you know, had a really good round there. Dahman, your boy, 7,300. Course history is trash, but ended up finishing 25th last week after shooting 76 on Sunday, which cost me a little bit of money because I had that top 20.
He's looking real good for a while there.
I know, man. I kind of had that like shoot in, like, oh, he's, because he was like in 10th. It's like, oh, yeah, sweet. You know, yep. He may not, you know, may finish 15th, but sweet, he's in. I'm cashing that. Jacob Bridgman, 3 straight made cuts for him on tour, 31st last week, 14th at the Canadian, has never played here, 7,300. Jonathan Vegas at 7,200, has played here a lot. Best finish was third in 2014, but finished 11th here in his last start in 2021. And his back-to-back made cuts for him, back-to-back top 30s for Jonathan Vegas. Grayson Sigg at 72. Course history is what you like to see, 13th and 16th in the last 2 years in his only two starts, but is coming off a miscut, and his logs are weird. So it's just up and down and a little bit everywhere, but more of a course history play there. Goddard up 7,200, fourth year in 2022, won the Myrtle Beach Classic, missed 3 straight cuts. And then since then has made 2 straight cuts and is, I mean, he's finished in the 60s. It's not great, but this is the life we live.
Yep.
Jake Knapp at 7,100, talked about him last week. Yeah. 31st is where he finished. He's never played here, but I like him, you know, this week. And then Luke List, he finished fourth here in 2021, which was his last start. 3 straight made cuts for him at this event. And then coming off a made cut at the Rocket Mortgage. For some reason, he went to Europe and missed the cut over there. I don't understand that thought, unless it was some kind of sponsorship deal. But 4 straight missed cuts before his made cut and 67th place finish last week. So, I mean, Luke List in this field at 7,100, just if it feels too low. Chandler Phillips is another guy who has a really good form coming in, especially for this price range. 67th last week, 10th Canadian, 12th Charles Schwab, 50th Myrtle Beach. Has never played here, though. And so, yeah, like quite a bit here in the lower 7K range.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to do stars and scrubs this week because this range does not stink, basically, as you're saying. I could stomach some of these guys. I wouldn't be shocked. Like Michael Kim's won here before. I do like him at 74 just because, especially that 65 last week, like you said, like we know he can do it. We know it's there. He was actually playing really good for a while, and it's kind of been like a couple-month funk for Michael Kim. But, you know, that can come back at any moment. So 74 in a field like this, that works. Nate Lashley at 74. Definitely willing to go to Nasty Nate, who finished 21st here last year, missed cut 26th. So 2 out of 3 top 26s is not too shabby there, and coming off a 25th last week at the Rocket Mortgage. So I like some Nasty Nate. Brendan Todd is an interesting one because similar to like the Luke List thing, I'm looking at Brendan Todd here, and you look at, past event history, second last year, 43rd, 18th in his last 3 attempts at this golf course. But then you look at Brendan Todd, and it's missed cut the Rocket Mortgage, 36th at the Travelers, 67th at the Open, missed Memorial, 50th at Charles Schwab. Those don't scream like amazing plays, but I don't know. He's going to find a ton of fairways, and it's a shorter course. Todd usually, because his wedge game, his approach game is very, very good. So, like, he might kind of be overlooked in this field, maybe for a very good reason. Not going to say he's not, but, like, proximity from 100 to 125, he's 29th in the field. From 75th to 100, he's 15th in the field. So, like, your short wedge game, he crushes. Give himself plenty of chances. Joel Dahman's third in my model. I think last week he was second. Man, he was $6,100, and he was awesome. So I'll go right back to Dahman. He's still, over the last 24 rounds, third in opportunities, gains. His shorter wedge game is phenomenal. He's fourth in good drives. So I like some Joel Dahman. Johnny Vegas at 72, I'm with you. Sig at 72, I'm with you on that. Justin Lauer at 72, he's 27th in the model, third from 125 to 150, ninth in DK scoring, which will be big for these events, as we know. Didn't play here last year, 51st the year before, but recent form, 25th last week at the Rocket Mortgage, 50th at the U.S. Open. So we'll take that. Ben Silverman at $7,100. He's 17th last week, 35th at the Canadian Open, 32nd at the Charles Schwab. Hasn't played here since 2019, so take that with a grain of salt. I like Chandler Phillips. I played him a lot last week, so I'll go right back to that at 71. Jake Knapp, I'm surprised he is 71. Thought there'd be a price bump to him this week. And then last but not least, Nick Hardy at $7,000 is another guy here. If we're just talking like course history, 21st, 30th the last 2 years at this golf course, which I like to see. And last week, 52nd at the Rocket Mortgage, 42nd at Canadian, 65th at Charles Schwab. So not phenomenal finishes, but plays pretty darn good at this golf course. I'm willing to give it a rip on those ones. 6K range, Jesse. Who we like? And guessing Alex Smalley should be atop the list.
I don't have him checked off. The only one I have checked off is David Skins.
Yes.
That's it. That's all I've got. Miscut here in 2022, but back-to-back basically top 20, 17th last weekend, 21st at the Canadian, and miscut Charles Schwab, but 20th at Myrtle Beach. So, I mean, that's all I got. I don't – you tell me, man.
It's rough. I do have David Skins checked off for the same reasons you just mentioned, coming in playing really good. Hasn't done much here. But Alex Smalley, 2nd, 16th, 47th the last 3 years here. So the course history is very, very good. Miscut and withdrawal in his last two events on tour. So grain of salt. We're in the 6K range of one of the worst golf tournaments you're going to see. Max Grazerman, 31st last week at the Rocket Mortgage, 21st at the U.S. Open, which got my attention. First time playing here. But that's a guy that's actually shown some good form. Matt Kuchar, weirdly enough, keeps making cuts. I don't know if he can win you a GPP, but if you just want a guy getting through to the weekend, Kuch and Ryan Moore, both at 69 and 68. Or if you, for some odd reason, want to play cash and get a 6K golfer, Kuch and Moore don't scare me as much as they should. Troy Merritt, he's 10th in my model. We saw last week Troy Merritt finished, finished 17th at the Rocket Mortgage. He finished 17th here last year. Troy Merritt loves birdie fest. That's what Troy Merritt loves. So at $6,800, 10th in my model, great approach game, 6th in opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds. He actually stands out quite a bit. And then a couple others, if you just want to get wild, Pearson Cootie has been making cuts at 67, a couple nice finishes for a $6,700 golfer. Same with Ben Coles, and I'm not going below $6,500. I gave you more than I thought I should have, so let's just have fun with that and walk away. But there are guys down here only because the field's so bad. These are the kind of events where long shots can do random shit and, like, top 20 for you and surprise you. So we'll see. But, all right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K range. Who are you liking?
Aaron Rye.
I'll go Sungjae on this one at 10-3. 9K range.
McNealy.
Yeah, you should. He's your top. I'll go Keith Mitchell then. There we go. 8K range.
I'm going to say Mark Hubbard.
Yeah, I'm torn between two guys here. I will go with Seamus Power, but another guy's really close. 75 to 79.
Shipley.
That's a fun play right there. I will go with give me Ryu. I'll go Ryu on this one. 7K to 74.
It's a great question. I'll say, just to be a little bit different and weird, Jacob Bridgman.
Okay. I'll go Joel Dahman. I'll just keep going down that train. Seems like he's close. This is the perfect like event for him to break back through if he has to. 6K range. You only had one guy. So David Skins?
David Skins game, yeah.
Yes. I will go with give me Alex Smalley, I guess. No. I'll take Troy Merritt. Give me Troy Merritt. All right, if you're playing cash this week, buckle up, but who would you start your cash lineup out with?
Yeah, Hubbard.
That's a good call. Makes Keith cuts.
Keith, well, I don't know, man. I would probably go Hubbard, Glover, and Seamus Power.
Yeah, I would go Hubbard. I like the power call, too. I go Hubbard. Give me Lashley, and I'll take Brendan Todd. I think he at least makes the cut for you. Not sure what he does after that, but I think he makes the cut for you. If you're starting out a tournament lineup, where are you looking?
I'm going to go Mav McNealy, Neil Shipley, and Keith Mitchell.
I will go with Sungjae M, Keith Mitchell, and Lucas Glover. That'll be my start to things on that one. Now the best part of the show, because this is a dicey part of the field, a dicey tournament. who do you have winning this thing? Because my God, it's a rough go.
It is. I haven't placed these, but I will before or by the time it's over with. But anyways, Neil Shipley, 75-1. Aaron Rye, 20-1. Keith Mitchell, 30-1. And then got top 20s on Sheamus at +240.
That's outstanding.
Neil Shipley at +320.
Awesome. Yep, I like both those. I put Joel Dahman +330 into that mix.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I didn't say it.
I could see Jake Knapp at +330 being interesting too. He was so close last week. Real close to having a big week. So that's a fun one. And then Troy Merritt at +400 in a birdie fest. I'll take my chances. 17th there last year, 17th last week. So +400. And if you want another long shot, Alex Smalley finished second here last year. He's +400 as well. One I'm curious, and we didn't talk about, but Harrison Higgs is playing some great golf on the Corn Ferry. He's making his return this week. That's a name I'm very excited to at least root for, and I might have to throw him in at least one lineup. But the form he has shown on the Corn Ferry, and try to tell me this isn't a Corn Ferry event.
It's true.
That's like at least top 20 at +450 is interesting. I'm not saying maybe you could probably, I could do it right here for you real quick on good old DK. You can top 40 and for +150 if you really need to. Like, that's not horrible. He's playing really good golf on the Corn Ferry. So
I'm with you.
You're rooting for him.
Yep.
But yep, it'd be a wild week. Hope you guys have fun. Final thoughts, Jesse.
No, I'm just glad we finally have a major, the ISCO Championship next week.
Are you going to go?
Probably not. I've never been. This is probably going to be the last year that they have it at this golf course. So maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't have anything scheduled golf-wise, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't like crowds, man, and hotness.
That's the bigger part. Like, the crowds is one thing. It's the hotness, the stickiness, and the crowds bumping into you while you're already irritable because that doesn't end well by the end of the day.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, regardless, we'll be back with you guys next week to talk about the ISOC. I think I got that right. Championship, the Scottish Open, which should be a fun one when you get basically the PGA Tour takes over a Euro Tour event and they let a few Euro Tour players in. That's what it turns into, which is kind of weird, wrong, but interesting. And then the British Open is the following week, which is always a fun one as well. But we'll keep you covered here as usual. Make sure you check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS preview of the 2024 John Deere Classic. Catch you all next time.